Morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I say pray for me. I'm pretty nervous. This is the first time away from home that I've had to have a message, so it's not coming very easy. I do wish to extend greetings from our home church from Alberta. Our church is in Brookster, Grasslands. And you're sure welcome to swing by there anytime. Tim called me. I happen to have a set of notes in my Bible still, so I'm just going to recycle it. Hopefully that's okay. It's not something I just came up with here while I've been here. It's something I just had the Sunday before I come down here. I don't really have a title for it, but Beyond Bitterness and How to Deal with It. And if we look at Matthew 18, verse 15 there, it shows how to handle a situation of when a brother that has trespassed against us, and also how we go talk with him first off. And then this morning I want to kind of look at the other end of the spectrum and look at where we can end up if we take offense to something that we previously perceived that was wrongly brought on us. It could be a legitimate offense or just something we perceive. Anytime there are offenses, Satan's going to be there trying to get that root of bitterness to take hold. Hebrews 12, verse 15 says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby may many be defiled. Now, I just want to back up to the verse 14 there, and that shows us a little bit the seriousness of it. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. If we carry bitterness around with us, we just simply can't expect to go to heaven, or we can call it our birthright. Now if we skip down to verse 16, says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For Esau, it didn't take much at all to sell out. But bitterness isn't something that we're just going to trade in our peace for, I don't believe. I think it's rather something that might take root deep down, and it might take many years to actually surface. Bitterness is something I struggle with for a couple of years. Maybe I'm exposing myself too much here. I can't really say I can put my finger on when it actually started. Could have been different things. It might have been after my brother died or something like that. But one thing I do know what it finally took to get on top of it, and that was forgiveness. I don't have anything new to bring this morning. Most of what I've got here, you're already going to know and have heard it. But I think it's something we do need to watch out for, and maybe it's good to hear once in a while. I don't know what your schedule was before this. Maybe you've just had one on this or something, but I think it's just simply good to review it to keep from falling into Satan's trap of bitterness. simply because of how destructive it is to us personally, or also people around us. It's not something we just keep to ourselves. A lot of times, anger is the beginning of bitterness, kind of the forerunner of it. There's several types of anger. One of it might be when you hit your finger with a hammer or something. Then you react in pain and maybe you flap the hand a little bit. Although this is wrong, this isn't the anger that I'm trying to point out. I think rather the anger that comes from with bitterness is the one that is rooted way down deep within us and always turning and boiling under the surface. It's that anger that we can never see any good in others, and maybe always blaming others for misfortunes. Ephesians 4 verse 26 says, "Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath." And then verse 27, "Neither give place to the devil." Skipping down to verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away." Sorry. Starting, sorry, my voice just giving out. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Verse 32, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Anger is an emotion just like all our other emotions. When something sad happens, we're going to be sad. Or we're doing something we enjoy, like sprout out in the devotions, fishing. I love hunting and fishing, so usually when I'm doing that, I'm pretty happy. It'd take quite a bit to make me sad or angry when I'm out doing that. But we can control our emotions to some extent, and we are responsible for the way we express our emotions. Last part of verse 26 there, Ephesians 4:26, I think holds the key to not becoming bitter, and we'll take a look at that a little bit further on. I just have 5 points here I want to look at. The first one, effects of bitterness, and then why do we become bitterness? Also, what bitterness looks like. And then the last two I think would be the most important that I want to spend a little more time on, is how to get rid of bitterness and how to avoid it in the first place. Okay, just starting out with the effects of bitterness. Bitterness can actually make us sick on the physical level. Bitterness, if strong enough, can affect our immune system, our metabolism, and also our organ functions. Some experts think it should be recognized as a mental illness and then should be treated according. But this, I think, would only treat the symptoms and not the actual issue. Bitterness can also cause fatigue and loss of sleep. Some of the mental and emotional consequences could be depression, stress, and also detrimental emotional focus. It takes emotional energy to maintain a grudge, and when our emotional energy is exhausted, then that's often when depression sets in. Hating someone or produces stress. And when we're under stress, our adrenal glands create that hormone cortisol in our body, and it over an extended time, we become worn out and we can't really cope with daily challenges. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, although I did look into it a little bit. I believe one of you is a doctor. He'd probably explain a lot better than I can. Cortisol in itself is not necessarily a bad thing, I don't think. Like I said, it comes from our adrenal glands and is maybe best known for to help fuel our bodies in our fight and flight mode in a crisis. It also helps to keep inflammation down, helps regulate blood pressure, and also boosts energy so we're able to handle stress. But it's when our body is in continuous stress mode, as in a situation when we're bitter, this is when we can get into trouble. And some of the physical problems that can run into are depression, headaches, heart disease, finding it hard to concentrate, trouble sleeping, and weight gain, and these are only a couple. Bitterness and resentment create an emotional focus toward the person that offended us. It's what we think about constantly, and our world starts to shrink. One study done on it also stated that with all the focus on say a person that offended us, we actually start becoming like him or her or whatever. Bitterness will also hinder our ability to love God. 1 John 4, verses 20 to 21. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Bitterness is kind of like drinking poison and hoping that our enemies will die. It's impossible to be bitter and yet get better at the same time. Bitterness is kind of like a cancer. It starts from within, small, and destroys from within. We could take that and look at the body of the church. We could see it spreading through the whole church, just starting small, say with one person, and spreading through the whole church, and it could actually wreck the whole brotherhood and end up destroying the church. Bitterness is not something we can keep to ourselves, but rather affects all those around us. It will destroy relationships, whether it's friendships, marriages, or families. And if we look at the children of Israel, it destroyed their whole camp of the older people there. And they ended up needing to wander for 40 years before they were allowed into the promised land there, until all the ones had died that refused to go in there. Psychology might tell us to vent our anger on a punching bag or something. Or we might just put our heads down and really go to work. And this is kind of what I did, and I know from experience that you can control your anger and bitterness, but it's not going to get rid of it. If we look at verse 31 again of Ephesians there, we are to put it away and not just vent steam or pound it out on a punching bag. Venting our anger in these ways will not solve the problem, but rather leads to the slow smoldering bitterness. The dangerous part of bitterness is that it can slowly take over our heart until we eventually can't know joy anymore. Second thing I want to look at is why do we become bitter in the first place? Could be a lot of reasons to become bitter. could be a bad experience, death in the family or losing a friend, loved one, say in an accident or a sickness. And then we might start to question God, why did this need to happen to us? Or it could be refusing to forgive someone and hold a grudge. Could also be experiencing abuse or some other bad experience similar to that. There's a lot of reasons that could turn a person into being a bitter person. But in the end, the reason we become bitter is because we won't let go or we can't forgive. We're usually pretty quick to think that we just need to get over it. And I'm guilty of that exact thing. But depending on what it is, like losing a friend or something, that could be a lot easier said than done. And once we start questioning God and become bitter against God, we really don't have any other place to turn to. Another reason bitterness sometimes takes root is when we start to bottle up everything inside us. And when we do this, we're just keeping it there and keep mulling over it. But rather, we need to face the issue and deal with it and move on, which is sometimes easier said than done. Third thing I want to look at is what bitterness looks like. And this can be different with different people. There's a pretty wide range of symptom. A bitter person might enjoy gossip and always looking for that little bit of negative information, especially about the one that we're bitter against. And maybe we just want to add a little bit to that and pass it on. Bitter person is usually has a hard time being glad for someone else's accomplishment. Rather, jealousy and envy are just under the surface. If we're bitter, we'll be glad for others' misfortunes and we'll enjoy seeing them suffer. And we're going to tend to think that, well, they just got what they deserve now. They had it coming. But Romans 12:19 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." It's not up to us to make sure that the playing field is level, or what we think might be fair. And I think there's actually also varying degrees of bitterness. Not everybody's gonna get physically sick or something like that. Bitter person is often buried in self-pity, feeling cheated by others, and feeling shortchanged by life in general can get to the point of becoming a sociopath. And then we get to where we no longer care about other people at all. And it's so that we just think that the whole world has done us wrong. Then that's when they kind of start to generalize their anger towards everyone in the whole world around them. And pretty much thinking the whole world is out just to get them. I think if we can remember details from something that happened years ago, I would say we're probably definitely struggling with bitterness. Sometimes you hear a story of something that might have happened generations ago, or even one generation ago. And it really has nothing to do with us, but just passed on by the parents or something like that. Why would we hang on to something that's got nothing to do with us? It's sad to see all the friendships, potential friendships that never happened just because maybe a generation ago there was a disagreement over something. Fourth point I want to look at is how to get rid of bitterness. First, we need to let God show us that there is bitterness in our hearts. I think very few people are going to admit to bitterness. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" This is why we need the Holy Spirit, because we can't just go where what our heart says. Also, that's why we have Christian friends and family. Always there looking out for each other. Then I think once we get to the point where we nail down the bitterness, we need to figure out what it is that we're angry and bitter about. It's not going to work to just ask God to help us to deal with our bitterness in general. I think we need to humble ourselves and look at the exact thing square in the face and then deal with it. Be specific. Colossians 3 verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Once it's taken root, we got to get rid of it. Not just try and forget it by drowning it with work or alcohol or drugs. Or all this is going to do is just going to bury it deeper. It's only one way to get rid of it, and that's to repent and forgive. Even when we might think that it's justified, that doesn't change it any. Also, another thing I had to think about was we need to forgive whether or not the offending party asked for it. Jesus forgave all of us that put him on the cross even before we ask for forgiveness. Luke 23 verse 34 says, Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiments and cast lots. Jesus is the only one that we could say would have had fair reason to be bitter. Because he was perfect, and not only was he killed, but on top of it, he was killed for us, for something that he didn't even do. And like we looked at that a little bit in Sunday school there, how he did it voluntarily. He chose to forgive us. And there again, we might be tempted to think, sure, but that was Jesus. So it was no big deal for him. But there again, in Sunday school, we looked at how Jesus was here in the flesh. And it would have been just as hard on him as it would have been on us. He faced the same temptations that we do, the same way we do. Also, if we look at Stephen when they stoned him, Acts 7, verse 60. "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not the sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." There's no revenge in Christian love. Last point I want to look at, how to avoid bitterness. I like to focus on this. How to keep from becoming bitter in the first place. I believe it should be a proactive thing, not something, especially in this area. It's always better to be working on preventative measures rather than having to play catch up and trying to weed out after it's rooted in us. Because bitterness is not going to leave room in our hearts for love, and love is the most important part of the Christian life. Looking at John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Verse 35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Then again in John, 2 John, verse 5, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Also John 15, verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And down to verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. Also, want to look at 1 Peter 4, verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. And I think this is talking about forgiveness here. I just want to go back a little bit to the thought I had in the first there on Ephesians 4, verse 26, the last part of that verse, where it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. If we take care of issues as they come at us, then bitterness doesn't have a chance to root. Luke 17, says, verse 3 says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. We're commanded to forgive. If someone offends us, then we forgive. If it's a couple times in a day, then we forgive a couple times that same day. Don't take it to bed and stew over it. It's better to just let it go, and because hashing and stewing over it, that's when Satan's right there trying to get bitterness to root. And really, there's no end to how this could happen. And that just comes out a little bit in Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Forgiving also has a direct effect on how we're going to be forgiven. Matthew 6, 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then in Mark 11, 25, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Another part in avoiding bitterness is taking personal accountability of our actions. Not to blame everything on others. That happens. Nobody's perfect, and we're all going to make mistakes. The last thing I want to look at is to put others before ourselves. And here again, we kind of looked at that in the Sunday school. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Verse 4, let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I think if we live these verses to their fullest potential, then there won't be any room for bitterness in our lives. And also, the sooner we forgive, the easier it is, and the less time we have to stew over it, and then also the less we have to forget. Wish the Lord's blessing on this service, the rest of the service, also the church here, as you strive to do His will. That's all I have.